Good afternoon, everyone. Our first speaker today is Jennifer Goodwillie. She will be speaking on the life cycle of renewable energy projects. She's currently the head of development for Nova Clean Energy, and prior to that was the vice president of development at Ørsted. Please help me welcome Jennifer.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm excited to welcome you all today. For how many is this your first Renewable Energy Law Institute? Wow. Okay, awesome. And for how many of you have you been coming for 5 years or over? Nice. Also got some alums. So what we're going to go through today is the life cycle of renewable energy development. One question that I get a lot is what makes a good project and how do we decide as developers where to go and, you know, what sites to develop. So we're going to walk through that, and I think that'll help orient the rest of the conference. The law really touches every piece of renewable energy development, from, you know, the land leases to the offtake contracts to the construction. And so there's a lot of great speakers over the next couple of days. I think you guys are going to learn a lot. And if this is your first time, get ready to really learn a lot from some colleagues. Okay, so we're going to go through just siting parameters first, how we decide where to go, what we take into consideration. Then we'll go into the development timeline and approach, and I'm going to leave a little bit of time, about 5 minutes, for some Q&A. Okay, so most of the new generation being built today is wind or solar projects and battery generation. There's some natural gas development, some nuclear, but really not a lot. This is a map showing you where within the U.S. there are those various different technologies. And there's some pretty clear patterns that you can see from this map. That's why I like to show it. You can see, for example, that most of the wind in the U.S. is developed up the spine of the country. There's some exceptions for that. There's some in the West Coast. There's some in the Northeast. But most of the wind is right down the spine of the country, the wind belt. And that's because that's where the wind resource is strongest. Solar is less concentrated. That's for a lot of different reasons. One of them is that solar is just a little bit more flexible. You can, you know, build a solar project. It will deliver energy at the ideal time of day when load is peak, really in a lot of different places across the U.S. I'm going to throw in a little pop quiz question here. Why do people think that there's way more solar resource and solar in general in the Southwest versus the Southeast? They're the same latitude. What's the difference? Anyone? No? Okay.
Trees.
It's good. It's good. And it's kind of close. There's like an element to that that's related.
Wetlands.
Wetlands. Also true that that's really complicated to navigate, and that's something that we're dealing with right now actually at my company. The answer is that the cloud cover is just totally different in the Southeast versus the Southwest. So shading, right? A lot of shading from trees and from clouds in the Southeast versus the Southwest. So like wind, solar is driven by resource, but it's just a little bit less resource dependent than wind happens to be. And that's amplified by the PTC versus the ITC. So when we look at where we want to go, where we want to develop this wind or solar project, the similarity between the two is that we take really the same things into consideration. We look at, you know, available real estate. The two things that were pointed out was trees, wetlands. That's technically available real estate maybe, but it's not ideal. So that's you factoring in maybe environmental considerations. You'll look at permitting, and so that's driven by environmental, but it's also driven by state planning commissions sometimes or local processes. You'll look at available transmission, resource, and just in general, the market. Who would buy electricity from you in these areas? So a lot of different things to take into account, and so what we're going to go through now is just how we break that down and how we kind of narrow that so that we've got areas of interest defined of where we want to actually pursue project development. Okay, so really high level, what we'll tend to start with is market. So different companies have different strategies, maybe different relationships, and so they'll want to focus maybe on non-ISO areas versus ISO areas. Maybe they're located in the Southeast, so they'll want to focus on developing within those utilities service areas. But that's the first piece, is looking at where you are, where you want to be located at a really macro level, what market you want to deliver into, who the potential buyers are in that market. If you're in an ISO, which will be gone into more a little bit later today with the next session, actually, you have a lot of different buyers.